of Mind coming up.
Hey everybody, this is Kev O'Donoghue with Ben Starr, Julian Joiello, and a guest you will hear from in a moment.
Hey there.
Back with the Positive Mind. Hey Ben.
Hey.
Bringing new ideas, concepts, and guests. Try and help you lead a more positively minded life. And it is post-Labor Day, and the season has changed. It's warming up today. Today is going to be probably our last gasp of summer. And, you know, I thought that this change of season really brings a change of clothing and a change in our appearance. So we thought we'd do a show, a couple of shows actually, on how we look to others and how we feel about how we look and how we dress differently when we're with ourselves and how we dress differently when we're on a job or differently when we're going on a date or differently when we're going to meet family, and all these variations of how we dress. And how dress impacts how other people see us. And also how dressing impacts the way we feel about ourselves. So we thought we would bring in today Dr. Kent Robertshaw, who was on a few months ago talking about looking beyond what clients and people who come to see him present and trying to find out what's underneath that. So often when you go to a doctor is listening to your complaints, and they're trying to find out, well, what's the source of this? Where is this coming from? So doctors are often like in a whole nother realm when they're assessing where you are at trying to help you. And we thought we would have Kent come in because Kent has done a lot of research on the effects of how we look to others and how we're being judged by others and how we feel and how we feel about ourselves and how the way we dress affects the way we feel. Kent is a board-certified psychiatrist, a teacher at Columbia University, and an associate here at the Positive Mind Center, and he's been with us for 15, 20 years, Kent?
Yes.
With Armand DeMille?
Absolutely.
Kent, say hello.
Nice to be here, as always.
Nice to have you. So does it matter what we wear?
Yeah, I think that we, as people, we're very social creatures, right? And we want to belong. We want to fit in. Like every social group, you know, wolves and dolphins. And we don't want to be ostracized. We don't want to feel left out. We want to feel a part of. So how our appearance is, how we dress, is a communication on some level about whether we feel like we're a part of or we feel like we're fitting in with others. But as you were talking about before, how we dress is a lot of times an indication of certain things about one's psychology, about very important things about our self-esteem and how we feel about ourselves. And it also shows to the world a very important part of being a human being, our self-care. The amount of time and energy we put into our appearance shows us what the time we have in caring for ourselves, and sometimes communicating that we're worth caring for ourselves and spending the time and energy and maybe at times money to communicate that to others. So self-esteem and self-care being very important psychological things, and an appearance being part of the social fabric that we're in at the workplace, as you're saying, about our appearance in the workplace and fitting in and being accepted there, and then quite differently perhaps in play or dating romantically as a different part of ourselves, that appearance is also a very important aspect.
So, Ken, we hear oftentimes how appearances can be deceiving, but if I understand you correctly, you're almost saying that appearances are actually quite revealing of how someone presents themselves physically, how someone chooses to dress or groom themselves is really a reflection on their relationship with themselves or how they feel about themselves. Is that right?
Yeah, I think that, you know, to go to the extreme, it's probably true that the old saying, you can't judge a book by its cover, is probably true, that you shouldn't make, you know, snap judgments and assumptions about people based on their appearance. But the other side is drinking the Kool-Aid that appearances don't matter at all. And I think that that's sort of dishonest and not the reality that we know from psychological and psychiatric research. That's just not true. That's a fantasy in a utopia world. But it's perhaps true that our appearance has a lot of communication to others about who we are and what we think of ourselves.
Yeah, and it's really interesting coming from that idea that it does give a lot to the people around us and give an impression to everybody we meet, but also to ourselves in a way that I feel like potentially is a way that we're not aware of, and we're going to be talking a lot about today. Mm. How your appearance and how your perhaps clothing or fashion choices can be affecting your mood, your intelligence, your relationships, and just your confidence. I mean, just to start.
So we could actually put it out to you listeners. Are you dressed today? And how is how you're dressed today reflecting how you care about yourself or how you're feeling about yourself? Mm. And, you know, whether your feelings change from day to day. I mean, are you wearing the same clothes you wore 3 days ago? And, you know, are you in a kind of trance?
Right. Do you revolve through a couple of outfits and that's just it?
Yeah.
Very straightforward. Don't really think about it very much. Or are you the kind of person who dresses for every occasion?
You're interesting psychology. A lot of people, do you find this, Kent, will dress, you know, make dress choices because they want to keep it simple? So, like, if I have three standard shirts or three standard pants or three dresses or something, you know, at least I've got that settled. It won't complicate my life.
Yeah, I would think that, again, it's maybe being keeping it simple to the point where, you know, maybe people around you notice is perhaps not good for the social creatures we are, that you're wearing the same tie or the same suit or something like, or the same dress. But yes, it can be easier for the person. And again, in this very complicated world we live in, where people have careers and the like, and particularly women, for example, where appearance and dress is so important, and yet they feel tied to taking care of their husband's needs, their children's needs, their occupational needs, and yet, you know, many of the married women with children feel like they don't have enough time and would do something simple like only have a couple of outfits, but that's probably not putting their best foot forward in the workplace if people are noticing that you're repeating and don't have a more rich, colorful and outfit choices. Mm-hmm.
Talk about that divide a little bit more, if you could, Kent. There is a huge difference in the way men and women are expected to present themselves in appearance. And there is much more pressure, I think we can agree, on women to look good, to dress well, versus men. How do you see that discrepancy as far as the work you do and how you deal with your clients? And what does that mean for the individual?
Well, I think that, you know, our society or our genetics, it's unclear, but it's definitely true that appearance tends to be a very important aspect of what men notice about women, right? So that you know, at an early age, it's very important, sexual attractivity and attractivity in general, that it's very important how a woman looks. And that for women, as we talked about, appearance is not totally unimportant, but other things like, you know, personality, success, competence are factored in there. So that appearance becomes a very important part, I think, of women, and dare I say even femininity, in terms of being neat, being well-dressed, having things color-coordinated, and then being fashionable, being aware of what are the colors or styles that are making you feel like you're accepted and are valued. So certainly there's a greater emphasis on beauty and the like. Me, as a middle-aged man who's balding, understand with my 6-year-old daughter, hair, about how much time hair takes for women to get long hair. Right. That I've never appreciated until I had a daughter, that this, the time and energy that goes into taking care of hair is another gender difference, that women generally have longer hair, and it just takes a fair amount of time to keep it curled and nice. And
by the way, if you're just joining us, we're talking to Dr. Kent Robertshaw, a clinical psychiatrist here at the Positive Mind Center. And yes, while you are balding, Kent, you are also the best dressed person in the room right now.
Yes.
Kent's dress is very sharp. He looks real put together in a very nice suit. And we're talking about how appearances communicate how we feel about ourselves and how they may reveal one's relationship with themselves.
Yeah, you know, a really interesting thing we came across in our research was the sort of subtle subliminal effects that that clothes can have on your brain. There was several studies done on just the effect of wearing a doctor's coat versus a painter's coat, which look exactly the same. They're both white coats, but if you name it differently, in this study, over 58 subjects were studied throughout doing a sort of mental acuity test. Mm-hmm. And when they were wearing a doctor's coat, what it was named, the doctor's coat,
right. They
knew it was a doctor's coat. It looked professional.
Mm.
And then the people who were wearing street clothes, the people wearing the doctor's coats did 50% better on these mental acuity tests simply just because they were wearing a doctor's coat. And then when they did the same experiment with a, quote, painter's coat, which is the same exact physical appearance of coat, there was no effect found. So what ended up happening is there was a level of intelligence that people sort of felt that they had to step up to match the expectation of wearing this doctor's coat. And I have to say, when we were talking about this a little earlier, it's a really interesting subject, and it also relates to my own career as an actor. I mean, costumes, it tends to be one of the most important parts of being an actor. Once you get your costume, it's like, okay, now I'm ready to do this role. Now I can do this. I can go there.
Now I am the character.
I am the character. And for anybody who's not an actor, which is, I'm assuming, most people listening, you know, there's that moment on Halloween when you dress up as, you know, your favorite celebrity, or you dress up as, you know, Elvis Presley, and there's this rock that comes into your knees. You know what I mean? Like, there's a level of, when you wear something, it evokes a character and a kind of intelligence, a kind of personality that you can match with that outfit. And it's a really interesting subject.
Isn't it amazing? And it must happen like in a millisecond. Tell us if it does, Julian, when you put on a hat, a top hat or something.
Right.
Is it instantaneous?
Well, it's funny because you see people trying things on, and the first they reject it, and they go, oh, this is just weird.
Mm-hmm.
But then they put on, once you see someone who really accepts what they're wearing, they go, oh, yeah, I can do this.
Yeah.
I can go this, and they start living in that. And it tends to change people. I mean, I know friends who will get like a giant fur, you know, beautiful coat, and they'll come back, and they'll all of a sudden they feel like they need to smoke a cigarette and be in a film noir,
right.
You know?
Yeah,
and
yeah.
there's something about that evokes, I think, a lot of the time, subconsciously, a different personality change, a different place in the brain, perhaps. Even.
Yes, and I'm sure everybody out there, everybody listening, knows what it feels like to dress up.
Yeah.
And knows what it's like to put on a fancy shirt or nice pair of shoes or some, and the change that it can bring.
Yeah, and we know now, of course, we've spoken just about this doctor's coat experiment, but in a more general sense, just wearing something professional to something that is professional will affect your professionalism. I mean, affect you, the way you come off, the way you believe you can come off, and, of course, your confidence.
You know, I think a tie makes a big difference. What do you think, Kent?
Well, Kent, who's wearing a tie.
We look
you
at Kent, who is wearing a tie.
You're the only one wearing a tie in here.
And again, I would say in my struggles of self-identity and self-expression, mistakenly 10 years ago, I was following the casual Friday, and all my clients who are, you know, starting up with apps and stuff on the internet and 30 years old and making $2 million a year are wearing sneakers and blue jeans. And I was like, I got to be cool and not wear with a tie. And it was the worst experiment that I've ever done, because I think that, you know, part of presenting yourself, you know, studies would show, is you want to present yourself in a way that's, you know, age appropriate, right? You know, you want to
sure.
sort of dress in a way that, again, 16-year-old girls wearing frilly stuff that's more typical of a grandmother and how mothers, that's probably not cool and that's not very attractive. And I think many a teenager sometimes pushing back with the mom to not dress them in something that's frilly or lacy or something that's not appropriate to 2017 and being, you know, 16. Mm-hmm. And then similarly, I would think there's a lot of, you know, neurotic middle-aged men like Ken Robertshaw who, you know, as they're getting older, you know, trying to wear ripped jeans and stop wearing a tie, and it's a disaster, right? Because again, studies would show that it doesn't look
well
good.
Unless, and, you know, unless the ripped jeans evoke a confidence in you
right.
that
yeah.
that you've been looking for.
Maybe they made you feel younger.
Yeah, I mean, I think the general conventions of what is cool, what is not cool, what is professional, what is not professional has changed. I mean, I know for example, my sister's a graphic designer and she's an art director, very successful for her age and, you know, very respected in her community. She wears the most crazy things ever. She'll wear like, you know, giant balloon pants that are like clown pants or something like that and like, right. you know, a crop top to work. And she's the art director, so she's one of the
head people
there.
Well, she's an artist.
I mean, but she goes there and, yeah, exactly. In her world, that is what's respectable. If somebody came in a suit and a tie, they would be laughed at in her office. And it's because that, in that world, in that context, is what is respected. And so, you know, as we talk more about clothes, there's a lot of interesting things to take in mind, where you're going, what the norm is and what isn't. And
yeah, and I think we'll spend the second half of the show doing that. I did want to put it out to callers. We want to take your call. We want to take your reaction to this importance of dress. It's the change of season. And do you open your closet and see monochromatic colors, or do you see variety? Do you see something that you can't wait to put on? How do you feel about how you dress? I think, Kent, you said an important thing about self-care and that how we dress really does reflect whether we feel worthy to really look nice.
Yeah, I think a couple of people here are talking about, again, that it's not just the reaction of other people. And I think that's where a lot, before I started looking at this research, I would have also thought that, oh, the way you dress, maybe there's a feedback loop, that it's true that other people treat you differently and that's why you act differently. But the study about the doctor's lab coat versus being told it's a painter's lab coat talks about, no, we all know what we look at, like we check ourselves out in the mirror, and that it really is not just the feedback loop, because it's probably true the way you dress does affect how people treat you to some degree.
Mm-hmm.
But most importantly, it's how you treat yourself and what communication
right.
it has about your self-esteem, self-worth, and self-care.
Yes, please give us a call at 212-757-5555, 212-757-5555. Give us a call about how clothes sort of affect you and what you've noticed in your clothing habits. 212-757-5555. We'd love to take your calls.
What kind of feedback are you getting based on how you're dressed?
Yeah.
You know, when you said about women, Ben, it's, you know, there's an unspoken criticism for a woman who's not dressed to look well. Like a guy could wear grunge and get away with it, but a woman.
Yeah, I think there is a lot of unfair pressure, and there's a big discrepancy in terms of how we approach appearance for men and for women. On the flip side of that, I've had many women tell me that when they experience something traumatic, when they're having a trouble in life, if they have a breakup or what have you, that something, a go-to thing is to change their hair.
Mm-hmm.
And that it gives them a different perspective and a different feeling about themselves. So I think it's a double-edged sword, is that while, yes, there is more pressure on women to be conscious of appearance, they're also more aware of little things that they can do with their appearance to feel better, if not good. Whereas I think men overlook that. You know, men, we have, what do we have? The barbershop. Maybe we have
the
gym.
Yeah.
And that's really about it.
Right.
We all have our own ways.
We have a call. Go ahead. 212-757-5555. 212-757-5555. I think it's about criticism. I mean, a lot of people dress in a way to avoid being criticized. So that's another variable. Here's that's a call.
Very interesting. And we've got Linda from the Bronx calling in. Linda, you there?
Yes, I am.
Hello,
hi.
Linda.
Thank you so much for calling in.
You know, it's so funny. Today I had a chance to go to a talk program on TV, and a very handsome movie star was going to be on there. Uh-huh. So I pulled out a very plain red dress that I love red. So I said, okay. Not that I was going to meet him. But anyway, so I couldn't get in, so I came home and changed clothes totally. Jeans, but a red top. Because the color red, I guess I'm talking about how colors also impact what we wear, how we feel.
Yep.
Because when I had on that very plain red dress, I got certain looks from women my age. I'm a grandmother. I'm over 65.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like I got this look from this one woman, and I was like, gee, maybe I'm not supposed to wear red.
Huh.
But, yeah, how we dress, colors we wear.
How many times have you gotten that message? Oh, I guess I'm not supposed to wear this. I'm not supposed to wear my hair this way. I'm not supposed to wear these kinds of shoes. You know, this happens to women all the time, I suppose.
And the thing is, when you were talking about women and curling their hair, my hair is very, very, very short.
Okay.
So, you know, there's that whole thing about that. And different cultures really look at you funny.
So you would you're agreeing with us that how you dress really says a statement to other people, and that you're really under scrutiny from other people with how you dress.
Yes.
It's also interesting, Linda, that you bring up the use of color, because if you heard some of the research that we discussed earlier on clothes and appearance, one of the points in that research was that wearing red is actually seen as a more attractive color. And we found in this research that men were actually more likely to approach women who were wearing red. And I think it's very interesting that
you kind of followed that impulse pretty naturally.
Have you done that before, Linda, worn red?
I have worn, yes. And I have to say I was in a relationship years ago, and the person tore off all of my red clothes.
Ah, because he didn't want you to be taken away from him.
Oh, whatever.
Yeah, I think the other women may have been threatened by your red dress. If you were getting looks, I mean, I would go to maybe they saw you were a very hot grandmother, as we all should feel very sexy and desirable at any age, and you wanted to wear red because you wanted to appear beautiful and attractive, and maybe that's where you were getting some looks of envy and jealousy that you had the guts and the self-esteem to go out in a color that was very bold and very much known to be involved with attractivity and getting a response.
Yeah.
And like I said, it was the look from a person maybe my age.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? The expression
of course.
On her face.
Of course. You're the competition.
Very interesting.
Linda, thanks for giving us a call.
Thank you.
Call us again in the future. We have another call. Thanks for calling.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Bye-bye.
Interesting, the color red. Yeah, there are places where you do not and not allowed to wear red. Right? I mean, a woman who goes to a wedding in red is like you take away from the bride. You know, everybody's eye goes to the woman in red as opposed to the woman in white. And so the unwritten rule is you do not wear red at a wedding.
Hey, and we've got Mark on the line. Mark, you there?
Hey, how you doing?
Mark.
I've done some amateurish acting, very amateurish. And I know now how hard it is. I was wearing, like, different, let's say, costumes. And but some things I had no problem with. Even, like, dressing like a woman, no problem. Dressing like a construction worker, no problem.
Yeah.
Here's where I had a problem. There was, like a middle-aged guy, let's say, with a shirt tucked in, very, very extremely straight-laced.
Hmm.
I couldn't, you felt my discomfort just by looking at me.
Are you trying to disown that identity?
Yeah, and I eventually worked it out, and there was another scene that I had to work out. Being in tighty-whities, like ugly tighty-whities, kind of like I watched, was it Jack Black and Will Ferrell in scenes in that. And they're like perfect. They could play those unsexy, somewhat
it's a tough,
but lovable characters.
It's a tough costume to be forced to wear when it's something that makes you feel unattractive or perhaps, you know, something like that. Yeah.
I don't even. What is Whitey's Whiteys?
Tiny Whiteys. Yeah, I mean, it's sort of like a. It's a bit of a joke.
Brief
idea.
Yeah, Kent,
a vulnerable place.
Grandfather might have wore. I don't even think he probably wore boxes, but it's just like the ugly. You know, just pretty ugly.
Well, I think you know. Again, when you were talking about wearing a stiff shirt, a tucked-in shirt, again, getting back to what Julian said, again, a lot of how we dress, like the white lab coat, it's probably true that if you wear a tucked-in shirt, a tie, and like, you're going to find yourself acting more professional, you know, more, and that could be more serious, tight-laced, but that goes along with professional. Let's be honest, artists, like actors, whatever, that's not necessarily tight-laced, you know, conservative, professional, you know, sort of demeanor that's associated with that job. It's, you know, a much more serious, authoritarian, you know, sort of look.
Mark, thanks for calling us. Keep calling.
Great.
Thanks for calling us. Bye-bye.
Thank you so much for calling. Yeah, we're going to try to get one more call, but we appreciate you letting us know about that.
I guess dressing up as a construction worker and acting the role has to be like a natural for a lot of people. What do you think, actor?
Say that again. Sorry.
Dressing up like a construction worker and you know, dropping into character is an easy stereotype.
Yeah, especially when you get accessories that are to your characters. That you need, sometimes for actors, it's great to have like an object that you can deal with.
Okay.
You know, a construction hat is one of those.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yep. Number to call, 212-757-5555. Yeah. You're listening to The Positive Mind here on 99.5 FM, WBAI. We're going to take another quick call before we get to the break.
Yes, thank you so much for all your calls. And we've got Lee on the line. Lee, you there?
Yes, I am. Thank you.
Hey, how's it going? Thank you so much for calling.
Hi, thank you. This is a very good conversation, and there's so much valid truth to it.
Mm-hmm.
I love it. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I think it's
helpful.
How are you dressed right now?
Well, right now, I'm as casual as can be, in shorts and flip-flops and tank top, and this is my best mode. When you start putting all sorts of clothing on me in the fall, I feel like a totally different person.
Right. Yeah, it's interesting watching at the change of the season when it's right in between winter and spring where people are wearing shorts even though it's 40 degrees and then they're wearing sweaters when it's 40 degrees at the same time of year at the end of the summer.
What do you want to tell us about any insights you're having about clothing and your appearance and how you're coming across?
I think that clothing does signal to people your comfort zones, like who you are, and it can make you appealing or unappealing. You're absolutely right.
Yeah.
But for me personally, I just feel so much better in less layered clothing. In the winter, I need clothing on. I'm freezing. But I just feel much more at ease and comfortable within myself when I'm just dressed very casual and shorts. And
right, so you don't even have to worry about it. You just feel comfortable in yourself and comfortable that you know that you physically are feeling comfortable.
What percentage of the time are you dressed just sort of comfort level, and what percent to impress or at least look, you know, different than your usual appearance?
Okay. So I'm a very natural person, so I don't fuss at my hair. So summer, I'll just let it dry by itself.
Uh-huh.
But when I want to get dressed is maybe when I'm most definitely when I go to the VA to be with my veterans, I always think I should dress appropriately and dress in light colors and cheer them up, never wear anything dark. And, of course, if I go on a date.
Yeah, sure.
But those sort of things, you know, if I go to church or, you know, I mean, people do have a variety of wardrobe to accommodate a situation, for sure.
Yes, and I think you're right. I mean, you want to dress for your clients in a way that you can bring some cheer to them. And often how you look can really make a difference, can really boost their sense of their own self-worth. We're about to take a break, Lee, but thanks for calling.
Thank you.
And we're curious more about this work with the VA, so send me an email at kevin@thepositivemind.com. I'm curious about that.
Kevin, that's a positive one. Of course. You do well, and thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for calling in, Lee, and thank you for all our callers so far in this first half hour. You're listening to The Positive Mind here on WBAI 99.5 FM and also on the iTunes Store podcasts. Stay tuned for the next half hour until 2 p.m. We'll be talking more about how clothing can affect your life.
Listening to the sounds of Dave Brubeck, I Feel Pretty, here on WBAI. I'm Ben Starr here with Kevin O'Donohue, Julian Gioiello, and our guest today, Dr. Kent Robertshaw, a clinical psychiatrist here with us at the Positive Mind Center. We're talking about appearance and clothing and how they may affect your perception of yourself as well as others' perception of you. And we've been taking your calls. We've really enjoyed hearing from you. And for those of you who continue to call, stay on the line. We'll try to get to as many of you as we can. You can always send us an email at positivemind@wbai.org.
A bunch of people on hold, so there's a lot of callers on this, folks,
yes.
So hang in there with us.
Yes, and we've got Delphini on the line right now. Can you hear us?
Yes, hi.
Hello.
You're on the air.
A really great show. Thank you so much.
Thank you. And
what an apropos topic. I wanted to tell a little story. Like, I treated myself to a personal shopper. Her name is Mona. And this was one of the best gifts I've given to myself.
Tell us more.
Yeah. She did what's called a color analysis. Uh-huh. So based on your skin tone and hair color and a bunch of other factors, you're being categorized into a certain color scheme.
Mm-hmm.
And I got a little card that is like a little cheat card. I'm an autumn. It's divided up in seasons. And the other thing she did was, first of all, she went and picked out a whole arrangement of outfits, and you just go into the private fitting room and you try everything on. Mm-hmm. And it's such a luxurious feeling. You don't have to buy everything. Sure. But it's amazing because she teaches you how to break out of your own limitations to some extent. Mm-hmm. She has a whole questionnaire where she gets a feel for your taste and your likes and style. So it's all geared towards personality. And then the best part is she teaches you how to pick out your own clothing based on that. And she puts together, with the things that you buy, she puts together ensembles. So you don't have to think about what you have to wear. Like, you look into their closet and you say, oh, I'm going to wear this and this today. Mm-hmm. And she puts together different outfits.
So you look in your closet and you have options that you like.
I have options, but I also, it's like with the different pieces of clothing, I can combine different things and make them work in different ways together. And then you accessorize with something else, you know, those kind of things. So a little change just changes up the whole outfit.
Very interesting. This cheers you up. This has had a real impact on your mood or how you feel about yourself?
Well, first of all, treating yourself to something like that is just wonderful and the most luxurious thing you can have. But it also makes you move with much greater confidence. And because everywhere I go, I get compliments now.
Right.
It's like
I
walk into a room and like, oh, my God, this dress is amazing. And so, you know, that changes your whole way you enter a room. Mm-hmm. If you greet it like that right off the bat.
Thank you for this. So, this is really very interesting. We didn't think about the movement factor and how certain clothing makes us move in a certain way. And moving with
absolutely.
Confidence or lightness or joy or whatever different variations it can do. But it's an interesting perspective.
But the same exists for men. You know, like if you wear a ill-fitting suit, I see men, they wear these jackets that are way too big and they look like they're weighed down under this jacket.
Right.
That sends a whole image when you're networking or when you're in a professional environment. Then if you have something that fits well, that doesn't restrict you, you can move or, you know mm-hmm. you look sharp, that kind of stuff. So
I totally get it. Totally agree with it. Delphina, we're going to take you off and just comment on what you said. Thanks for calling.
All right. Bye.
You know? And she was saying you don't have to buy everything. Just doing one thing special for yourself, it can really change your mood. We're talking about clothing today and how appearance can affect how you yourself feel. And we're getting a lot of calls. We're backed up on calls. So a lot of you are responding to this. But, you know, talk about that a little, Kent. I mean, really, she sounds like she feels worthy to feel good.
Yeah, I mean, I was wondering when she said out of her comfort zone, I think that's mm-hmm. and what the way she picked her clothes. I wonder what the stylist did exactly, because I would think that some people, they would, you know, because of their self-esteem or because they, you know, feel shy or something like that, they would feel like, oh, you know, I want to dress down. I want to dress conservatively. I want to dress in neutral colors. And I could see somebody saying, listen, you're a beautiful woman. You're attractive. So let's get some more reds. Let's get some more vibrant colors. Mm-hmm. And somebody saying, well, that's not me. And it's like, well, hold it. Maybe this is the you that has been confined by insecurity or self-consciousness and shyness.
Yeah.
So when you wear these colors, there'll be this feedback loop when you'll check yourself in the mirror as you walk out. It's like, oh my God, look at that, you know, look at me kind of color that shows I'm worthwhile, I'm important, I'm interesting or something.
Yes.
You're not trying to subdue or hide, but actually show yourself.
Yes. It's a way to bring out the more of you that is there.
Yeah. Really, really interesting stuff. And I think we've got Sharona.
Sharon, hi.
Is that how you say your name? I'm sorry.
Yes. I live about 10 blocks away from your radio station.
Okay.
And I lack of a better term, I guess you would call me a fashionista. I have a good sense of style and color and balance. And I think balance is the key word.
Yeah. How has this enriched your life?
I get a completely wonderful response whether I'm shopping in the neighborhood or I go to a high-end department store.
Yeah.
And people like the way I dress. I wear straw hats. I buy a plain hat. I add accessories and make it my own.
And do people give you nods on the street, or, you know, are you someone that we would notice walking out there as a fashionista?
Yes, you would.
Yeah.
Yes, you would. Strangers even approach me on the subway, on the bus, on the street, and say, I love the way you put your look together.
So you have a certain flair, and it's a way that you get to display your personality for all to see. That's very interesting.
And I also have the confidence to try little parts of whatever is in style. I don't gravitate toward everything that's in style, but there are little bits and pieces that I will adopt.
Sharona, have you been doing this your whole life?
Yes.
How about when you were young? Did you have brothers and sisters?
Yes. All the women in my family dressed well.
Okay. So.
And they instilled upon us the importance of dressing well.
Yeah. I think you have a leg up there because of that. You know, so many people get the message not to stand out, you know, in a family. They're told to dress, you know, like us, and don't vary how you dress. And they carry that with them all through their life. So
I stay with the classics. Uh-huh. I stay with the classics. Every now and then I will borrow something that's current. But basically I stay with the classics. I can go from pastels all the way to Chinese red.
Wow. Listen, well, you're only 10 blocks away. We want you to drop in here as 119 West 57th Street. We'd love to meet you, take a picture of you here in the studio. And, you know, thanks for the gifts out there that you're giving to people as you're walking down these streets of our lovely city. Thanks for calling
us. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Sharona.
Thank you so much.
212-757-5555 is a number to call. So Sharona's adopted this as a way to be expressive, as a way to show her personality, to show off her flair to the world. And I think for a lot of people, that's what appearance can do. And how many of you out there have used appearance and clothing as a way to rebel? Right? I mean, I'm thinking about how many of you were punk rockers? How many of you grew your hair real long to the disappointment of certain adult figures in your life?
Yeah.
Or, right? I mean, there are so many ways that appearance has been used as a form of rebellion. Right, Kent?
Yeah. I mean, I unfortunately won't be able to make the show tomorrow, but I mean, I know tomorrow we're going to dovetail with the show about appearance, about tattoos and the like, and that absolutely for 30, 40, 50 years, whether it's long hair in the 60s or, you know,
piercings,
yeah, an earring, there's always been something that 17, 18, 19-year-olds, 16-year-olds are doing that is something that they know their parents will disapprove of, right? And there's a certain subpopulations for the last 50 years, you know, James Dean, a rebel without a cause, which is partly wearing that, knowing that it may not
be
the
only rebellion.
There's a power in it, right?
And I think we as psychiatrists and therapists all want to encourage people to have a certain sense of not just doing what Donald Trump and the Pope and your parents say because you're supposed to do it. I mean, I think there's a healthy part of rebellion that we all should have, which is questioning authority, questioning who made those rules. That's very healthy, right? To sort of like just not follow orders, because then you have Nazi Germany, right? Following orders of authority. So there's something probably very healthy that we all gravitate towards about having a little bit of a rebellious streak of not necessarily dressing the way mommy and daddy want us to dress. That's probably a healthy part of style and self-expression.
Very, or even children and families. Sorry, we have another call. But I just want to say, the side of a child in a family, you know, the one child that is like dressing differently than the four other brothers and sisters, this is a good thing. This is to be encouraged. This is a stamp, a chance at individuality. So rebellion in your dress can be a really important transitional stage in your development. So we have another call.
Yes, we've got Marta on the line. Marta, you there?
Hello.
Marta? Hello?
Hello?
Oh, I think,
hello?
I think she's coming to the phone. There we go.
Hey, Marta.
Hello?
Hello?
It's Janine. Hi.
Oh, this is Janine. Hi, no, Janine. Not Marta. Sorry.
Hi. Okay, yeah, about dressing, right?
Yes.
Yeah, well, let me go. Anyway, I'm a very creative person. I do suffer sometimes from a little anxiety, and when I get like that, I can't even dress. But I'm very creative, and I wear whatever I want, how I want. My daughters, who are 30 and 25, I had a little girl wearing tap shoes to the park, okay, and tutus. So I believe you show your creativity in your dressing. And
absolutely,
going to a wedding, you wear whatever you want.
Even red.
I wear everything. Okay. I've worn purple high boots, and I get compliments. Uh-huh. Oh, my God. And they say, where'd you put that together? Do you know some of the outfits? I live in Carroll Gardens and Park Slope. And do you know sometimes when I walk home, these rich people put out stuff? I put together a whole outfit with my purple boots. I went to my great-nephew and niece. It was my great-nephew's communion. People saying, where'd you get that outfit? I said, oh, it's in my closet. I didn't want to tell them I found it.
Yes.
And I come home and I wash it. I love buying in thrift shops.
Yeah,
that's
a big pastime of mine, too. Yeah.
I hate new stuff. I take whatever my daughters are throwing out. And I just love it. I love everything. And color, I have a red couch, okay? With yellow ottomans, gold ottomans. I love color.
So you do this every day. You
every day.
Be creative with your dressing every day.
I'll just put on whatever I want. Now,
and how about your two daughters? Are they creative,
my
too?
My two daughters. I have a sporty physical education daughter.
Right.
So she wears all the sport clothes. She's amazing.
Okay.
And she looks great with a t-shirt. I mean, whatever. And then I have my pharmacist, who is like, she's like when I was younger, the makeup, the hair. I don't do the makeup no more because, you know, I'm 56.
Yeah,
I don't dye my hair.
Yeah.
The gray is beautiful. I love it.
You let
it.
The colors take care of itself.
Just a little lip gloss, a little rouge.
Right.
I don't even bother. If I go to a wedding, I'll put a little mascara. But the little one, she is all me when I was her age. Oh, my God.
Fantastic.
She moved in a two-bedroom apartment downstairs. She lived up here with us.
Okay.
She filled up the whole two-bedroom apartment with all her shoes and clothing.
Yeah. Janine, listen, I want a picture of you in the purple boots.
I'm going to send
it to
you.
Send it to me at Kevin at the Positive Mind.
With a mini skirt that was $12. Don't ask me where I bought it. A mini dress, silk. Purple boots, I will show you.
Thank you
so
much.
And I'm very peace-oriented. I wear all my, like, Buddha jewelry and my peace signs.
Oh, yeah. You are a natural.
That's who I am.
You're a natural.
I'm a natural. And I learned to do that. Wait a minute. When I was young, I thought the makeup, the hair, because that's what I came from. As I had children living in Carroll Gardens, so natural. Less is more. You know what I mean? And I learned that. You don't have to. I try to tell my little one, you don't have to do all that makeup. You're gorgeous. And she is. But she'll learn
shining,
when she becomes a mom.
Janine, shining through. Thanks.
Love you guys.
Thanks for
love
calling.
You all.
Thank
bye
you so
bye.
Much
have
for sharing
time.
All that.
Bye.
That's wonderful. And it is really so true how fashion and clothing choices really can be one of the main amazing ways to express yourself and your own personality in a very, very specific way.
Raise your mood. I mean, it sounds like she's always up. But it might have something to do with the fact that she takes time. She chooses colors. She goes to thrift shops. She finds ways to make herself look great. And the fashionista Sharona before her. I mean, we didn't talk about money in fashion, but this can be done fairly cheaply. Can it, Ken?
Yeah, absolutely. I think I have clients and people who dress beautifully and they go to H&M or Century 21 or they go to Forever 21. Again, you don't have to have Armani. You don't have to spend hundreds of dollars to dress well.
Oh, yeah.
Get a sense of style, get a sense of proportion. They talked about things that fit well. And then she was talking about something subtle about color and the color that works with you that's maybe a little bit harder to figure out. Maybe you need help to find out what colors work with you. But yes, it's developing a sense of self-esteem and self-care to figure out what makes you look good and feel good.
Absolutely. And we've got our last caller for the day. Sorry, guys. We've been getting a lot of calls. And we've got our last one. Marta has made it through. Marta, are you there?
Yeah, this is such a great topic.
Hey Marta.
Thank you so much
for calling
in.
Yeah.
So I'm with the young lady that just called about, you know, less is more. I make my own clothing.
Oh, wow.
I think it's very important to, you know, use your creativity to make things. And then also I'm really into the idea of wearing the same thing over and over again, because we're in a culture that just wants to buy, throw it out, buy. And, you know, it's like, who sees you really in the day? I mean, unless you go to an office, but I don't do that. But I'm an artist. But so I'll have a favorite dress. I did it in school, too. I have a favorite dress. I wear that same dress
right.
over and over again. There's no shame in there. There should be never shame in your five dresses that you love,
right.
especially if you made them.
Right.
That's even
better. Yeah, that's really exciting that you can actually even express your individuality even more by making your own clothes and saying, this is the only one that exists for myself,
Absolutely.
And this is the only thing I will wear. So people, they see that dress and they go, oh, that's you, Marta. That's you.
Yes. And then, you go shopping and there's thousands of that one dress on one rack made in Bangladesh. We've got to stop that. We've got to stop looking like clones. We all, you get on the train and everyone is wearing, you see like 5 or 10 of the same sweather.
Yes. And I mean, if you watch in the wintertime, you see the color black or gray. It's just 9 out of 10 people are wearing black or gray during the wintertime. Do you have your own winter clothes that you've created yourself?
Absolutely. Of course I do. I have different coats that I've made. Right now I'm wearing a dress that's it's green. I actually dyed the fabric, and then I make these patches that look like trees, and I put the patches on because my dresses wear so thin. So I patched up my dresses, and I love it, and I get so many compliments all day long. It's incredible.
Fantastic. Just one last question about how you've done this all your life, or were you creative when you were young with your clothing?
I've done it pretty much all of my life. My mother taught me how to sew when I was 10, and she made all of our clothing. We wore matching dresses, and so I learned from her. And you know, my curtain can turn into my skirt or something like that. My daughter's little dresses were little old towels that I had. It's a way of life, and it's being an individual and not a clone.
Yeah. I think when we were talking before about having three outfits, again, that was partly related to people, again, not putting much time and energy into their appearance. And again, I think it's wonderful that you have make your own clothes and have importance of appearance. What I find, again, for everyone out there are people that, for some reason, it's gotten into their head, I'm very likable, I'm very sweet, I'm very smart, those kind of adjectives. And sadly, there isn't an adjective in their head that says, I'm beautiful. And everyone, if they feel beautiful, and everyone should feel beautiful, and they're about their appearance, because everyone is beautiful.
And you can be beautiful if you like you said, you can be beautiful even if you do wear the same dress 5 days in a row. But it just goes so deep in our culture now with commercialism and just being bombarded to just buy everything and to be made to feel like you're not worth something unless you've got the newest of new.
Yeah.
And that has just got to stop. We've got to go back to the 70s where we wore, you know, just our old clothing. We made our clothing. It's really fun. It makes your life a lot happier.
Marta, we're glad you got through. We saved you as our last call, so we're really glad you're ending us on a high note. And we do appreciate
Yay.
It. Call us again
Thank
in the
you.
Future. We want to talk a little bit more about it, but have a good day. Thanks for calling.
You too. Bye-bye.
You know, when we settled on this idea for a topic, Kevin, I knew we'd get a lot of callers, but I didn't think that our callers would be as much fun as they've been this past hour.
Everybody calling in really has their own, it sounds like, even though we only heard their voice, has their own very individual sense of style that they for sure take and express themselves.
And they create. I think every caller today was talking about how they create, how they appear in the world every day.
Right, you get to curate you
can either create your own clothing or just create your own choices, whether it's a personal shopper or you cut up your own curtains and make your own clothes. I think creativity is the bottom line here. And I think in the background, that is really our opportunity for creativity is how we dress. I mean, if you open your closet and it's constantly disappointing, it's the same all the time, there's very little room for creativity. So this idea of spending very little money to enhance and to open that closet and feel, wow, I have plenty of good choices, and it feels great. Today is going to be a really good day.
Thank you again. Make the difference. Yeah, everyone who called in, thank you to all of our callers today. Thank you to all of our listeners today. And thank you, Dr. Kent Robertshaw, for being here with us again. It's always a pleasure to have you here
in
the studio.
Thanks, Kent, for taking us under the hood.
Absolutely.
No pun intended.
You're most welcome.
And if any of you out there have questions for Kevin, you can reach him at kevin@thepositivemind.com. And you can send us questions, positivemind@wbai.org. We'll forward those on to Dr. Kent Robertshaw if you wanted to reach him. And you can follow us on iTunes podcast. It's free, and you can get any episodes of The Positive Mind that you may have missed on the iTunes store. No purchase required, absolutely free. We're here every Tuesday and Wednesday at 1 p.m. I'm Ben Starr here with Kevin O'Donohue, Julian Joiello, and our guest today, Dr. Kent Robertshaw. Thanks, everyone, for listening, and thank all
of you
for
tomorrow.
Being here.
Tune in tomorrow. I really want you, would really like to spend another night with you. But I get the feeling you want the real thing, so what are we gonna do? 'Cause I'm in a place where I cannot go there, I just have to let you know that I don't want to hurt anybody, I'm gonna have to let you go. Been quiet for a while, not much to say and I'm baby, look at you, what am I supposed to do? I'm asking you to leave, but truth is I want you to stay. Spend another night with you, yeah.